And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your information flow. And we're doing so today by describing to you something called the five ways we make money in real estate. Now, don't touch that dial. Don't touch that dial. I'm serious, because I know as soon as you guys heard the topic, some of you went, what? There's five ways to make money in real estate? And some of you went, oh, dude, I've heard this before. I know this stuff already. And it's those of you that have heard this argument before that I'm concerned about. I don't want you to turn this show off. And the reason why is I'm going to talk about the five ways to make money in real estate. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to showcase a property, and I'm going to talk through the entire buying process and what we would do as a Lifestyles Unlimited member to qualify this asset. Yeah, to qualify this asset, which I think is more important than understanding that real estate makes you money five different ways. But if you don't know that real estate makes you money five different ways, you don't know what you don't know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and tie all this together. I'm going to try and get the newcomers to this show to understand something that some of you that have been following along with me for a while already understand. But I'm also going to treat it in a way that you get value out of it too. Is that fair? I think that's fair for everybody. So let me describe to you this house that was provided to me by the Lifestyles Realty team. Now, this property was provided to me by Vincent, and he's a realtor in Tennessee, part of the Lifestyles Realty team in Tennessee. Now, the interesting thing about Lifestyles Realty, it is a very, very exclusive realty agency, meaning it works with a very specific set of clients. It doesn't allow everybody under the sun to be clients. In order to be a client of Lifestyles Realty, you have to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited. Now, it sounds like, oh, here's the catch, right? Here's the crutch. Okay, so if I get one to get this, I got to do that. All right, now hold on. This part is very important, because this part is the education and mentoring component that it's even more important than having access to the Lifestyles Realty team. Most of you don't know what you don't know, and that's a problem. Now, you do know what you do know, because what you do know has been reinforced in you for many years. Here's what you know: that in order to retire, you got to stuff money into a 401k or an IRA or a collection of both, or some other government endorsed and sponsored retirement plan. And you got to do that for 30 or 40 or 50 years or however long it's going to take for you to build up a big bag of money. And then you're going to make an election at a certain point in future you's life. You're going to step away from working. So your income's going to go away. So your contributions to your retirement plans are going to stop. And the only thing that you have is whatever bag of money you've amassed. Now, there's a problem with that bag of money. It's finite, meaning as you start drawing down on that bag of money in future you, the amount that you have left diminishes. Now, there may be some money going into the account because you've elected to buy shares of mutual funds or stocks, and that's how you're investing. That's how you're trading, although you probably don't know anything about the companies that you're invested in. That's kind of a problem. It is a problem. So, what do you think the bigger problem is? The bigger problem is that you run the risk of running out of money before you die. And that could be a huge problem. And you'd be left with whatever Social Security, if you even qualified for Social Security, chances are you did, especially if you're working 30, 40, or 50 years. You probably qualified for Social Security, but that might be all you have to fall back on. And then what are you going to do? that's a problem. See, the problem between what you're doing for investment and ultimately for retirement has a fatal flaw in it, and you have no control over whether that fatal flaw is invoked or not. What's going to be is what's going to be. So how do you avoid that? Well, real estate is one way to avoid that. You take some of that money that you have invested in those stock accounts, in those 401ks and those IRAs. You take that money out. I know I'm scaring the daylights out of you right now, but you take some of that money out and you buy a piece of real estate. That's what you do. And the real estate is positioned to pay you five different ways. There's an income component, which is very important, because that's how you defeat the fatal flaw of what you're doing. You develop investments in assets that pay you an income stream. Real estate does that when done correctly, which is very important. It is probably the most important component of buying real estate. And here's why. You can buy real estate that doesn't have an income component to it. First thing that comes to mind is land, raw land. You can go out and buy it, and it doesn't do anything for you. It just sits there. Now, you could find a ground lease, somebody that would be willing to lease your ground and maybe graze their cattle on it. Now, that would pay you an income. So that would be an income component. But what you got to look at are a lot of things. You've got to look at, can you buy land at discounted prices? Well, yeah, you can. But the only reason somebody would discount land is if there's something wrong with the land, maybe an environmental hazard, or if they're just needing to sell really, really bad and they just need to raise some cash right now and, you know, they're willing to slash the price to sell the land. Or maybe they've held the land for a long, 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 long time, and the land really hasn't gone up in value. So they're just looking to sell the land to get their money back out of the land. Income-producing real estate, the kind that we invest in, has land associated with it, but it has something else. It has improvements that are made on the land. And those improvements are utilities, infrastructure, the physical building itself, and then that end product creates something that we can lease out, something that somebody wants and is interested in. Now, I described to you the income. I described to you the equity capture. But there's a couple other ways we make money in real estate. One of the ways has to do with principal pay down. Now, one of the things you'll learn when you become a Lifestyles Unlimited member is the power of leverage. In other words, putting fixed financing onto your asset and bringing in maybe 75% of the value of that asset in the form of a loan, which means everything else equates to your cash contribution and the equity that you capture. See how that works? Now, when you pay that mortgage payment every month, you're paying a portion to principal, you're paying a portion to interest. The interest is a business expense. It's a legitimate expense of the business. You can expense the interest if you like. Now, should you? Well, that's kind of a tax question. That's kind of an accounting question. Maybe that's a question you ought to talk to your CPA about. Now, do I expense interest? I do. That's the way I roll. Now, am I telling you have to do that? No, I'm not telling you have to do that. What I'm telling you have to do is I'm telling you have to become knowledgeable about the situation. You have to look at what are your options to do it or not do it. What are the results you would get by doing it or not doing it? Now, the principal element, that pays down the amount that you owe the bank. So over time, the amount that you pay that goes towards principal becomes a little bit more, and the amount that you pay that goes towards interest becomes a little bit less. So as you own the property over time, what tends to happen is that your equity gain based off the principal reduction tends to get a little better with time. Why is that important? Because it's another way that we make money in real estate. That principal pay down increases our equity. And all we have to do is make a loan payment to get it done. Simple as that. Now, there's something called natural appreciation. This is appreciation that occurs based on market forces. I can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. Del Walmsley, the founder and CEO of Lifestyles Unlimited, he can't do anything about it. It's a market force event. So what that means is that the value of your asset is going to fluctuate. It's going to fluctuate over time. Now, what tends to happen is that value tends to go up and up and up and up and up. However, I did an analysis and I was looking at the Dallas, Texas Metroplex. And I was trying to get an idea for what the median rental prices were for assets going back 5 years. And what I noticed was that from the time period of 2021 up until about 2023, values went up on assets in Dallas. Now, since 2023, what I've noticed is that the values, they peaked in 2023 and they've come down a little bit through where we are right now. What does that mean? It means that the market is having an impact on pricing. Prices peaked, they've come down a little bit, and a lot of people would say, because they went up so fast, and they did go up pretty fast. I mean, my analysis says like about a 30 some odd percent increase over in that initial time period. Because like when COVID hit and everybody was locked down, and everybody that was locked down that didn't want to be locked down decided to go move about the country, and they did, it caused real estate values to really accelerate because there was a lot of demand for that real estate. And as a result, prices were affected. There was more demand than there was supply, and prices went up. And then we got to this period, which is more of a buyer's market, where prices have cooled down, but they haven't crashed. They're really more along the lines of correcting than anything else. And if you look at a longer graph of pricing, now I only went back 5 years, but if you go back even farther than 5 years, what you're going to find is that real estate values over time just tend to go up. There are small periods of time where there are corrections, but for the most part, they go up. And when they tend to correct, they don't tend to correct the way the stock market corrects, which is good for us. Oh, and by the way, that income component, that's still paying us money. So we're not too worried about the value of the asset as it's correcting, because we'll just continue to operate that asset over time while it's still paying us an income. And we'll wait till a later date when prices recover to sell off that asset. Pretty cool, huh? So there's one other way we make money in real estate, and I'll share that with you right after this.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
New to real estate investing? At Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll learn how to get started with step-by-step education and real-world strategy. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your information flow. And we're doing so today by, well, we're describing the five ways you'll make money in real estate. Yeah, sounds kind of boring, doesn't it? But at the end of the day, when you understand the concepts, boredom becomes fascination. Because what happens in your mind is you start realizing that the way you're investing now is inferior to the way that I invest, the way my fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members invest. The way we do it is superior to the way that you do it. Now, it kind of sounds like I'm calling you out, right? Well, I guess I am. I am calling you out. I'm calling you to come check out what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. And the reason I'm calling you to come check us out is because I think we got something that would benefit you, totally benefit you. So how do you check out Lifestyles Unlimited? Well, I think the easiest way to do it, to be honest with you, is sit in front of a computer, pull up your favorite browser, type in Lifestyles Unlimited, and see what happens. Now, be careful where you go. I don't know what protections you have on your browser, but where you should go is to the Lifestyles Unlimited website, because we give you a lot of information that helps somebody trying to figure this out to get started. Another thing I think you should do is I think you ought to do a little research on Lifestyles Unlimited. I think you ought to see if there's good or bad information about the organization out there. And if you find good information, qualify it. If you find bad information, qualify it. That's what I did. Yeah, because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't interested in joining an organization that was just going to give me a bunch of runaround. What I wanted was I wanted to join an organization that would give me information, knowledge, networking opportunities, peers, and the ability to transform the way I had been investing into the way I'm doing it now. It's been a big transformation for me. And I owe everything to Del Walmsley and the Lifestyles Unlimited team, because I received education, I received mentoring, I received access to the Lifestyles Realty team, I received access to the operations consultants. I got everything that I needed in order to do the business of real estate the correct way. And that's what we want for you. We want you to do the business of real estate the correct way. And let me tell you about Lifestyles Unlimited. It's not one and done. In other words, you don't just show up for the initial training session and that's all you get. There's more. There's continuing education. There's continuing networking. There's continuing opportunities. We've been around for 35 years. If we had followed, let's say, all right, I'm going to pick on the president. All right, sorry, President Trump, but here goes. You, sir, you had a failed real estate education company. Why did you have a failed company? Here's why I think you had a failed company. I think your price was out of line, and I think the products that you delivered were inferior, especially compared to the price. And I think the market wore you out. I think you had some early adopters. I think you had some follow-on people. But beyond that, I don't think you had a program with substance. And your program went away. Lifestyles Unlimited had a different business model. The business model is focused on the members. Notice that I use the term members, because you're part of a membership. You're part of an organization. You're buying into a system that's going to transform your life, provided you educate yourself, get the appropriate mentoring, and take action. Those are the three things you got to do. Oh, and you got to make money five different ways in real estate. Yeah. Now, I've talked to you about four of them. I've talked about the income component, right? The cash flow. Very important that you have that. I talked to you about the equity capture. Very, very important for wealth building that you capture equity in the asset. In other words, if you put $25,000 into the asset, you probably want to capture at least $25,000 in addition to it. So you would turn 25 into 50. Kind of neat, huh? We talked about the principal pay down and the fact that just by paying a loan, build your equity up month after month after month. Then we talked about natural appreciation, something that goes on in the marketplaces. It's going on right now as I speak. And just because I'm talking about it, I don't influence it. I can't influence it because I don't have the power to move a market. I just don't have it. Now, what's that fifth way? That fifth way we make money in real estate. That fifth way has to do with all the tax advantages that you've heard about with regards to real estate. So what are these tax advantages? How do those make money for us? Well, simply, one way is through an expense that the government tells us we must take on the property, but we don't actually pay anything for it. We don't reach into our pocket and pull out money and buy this stuff and then write it off as an expense. This expense is considered a paper loss. The government says that for the asset that you buy, if it's a single family asset, it has a lifespan. In other words, the improvements made upon the land has a lifespan of 27 and a half years. So what they tell you to do is take the value of the asset. Let's say the value is $100,000. That's the land and the improvements. And then they tell you, you cannot calculate depreciation on the land value, only on the improvements, because the land doesn't wear out, but the improvements do. Does that make sense? So let's assume the land value is 20%. So 20% of $100,000 is $20,000, right? All right, so we're left with $80,000 of value based off the improvements that are made to the property. We take that $80,000, we divide it by 27 and a half years, and then we divide that by 12, and that gives us our monthly depreciation expense. Now, why is that important? Because that depreciation expense, in many cases, is higher than the cash flow, the income that you make on the property, which means all that income that you make is not taxed because you have an expense against it. It's kind of neat the way it works. So what that means is all the money that you make on cash flow, you retain. You use it for whatever you choose to use it for. Now, another way we have tax benefits is something called a 1031 exchange. It gives us the ability to sell an asset and buy replacement assets without being taxed on the capital gains, because effectively what it does, it allows us to migrate the capital gains tax into the new property or properties and not have to pay that capital gains tax. All right, now check it out. Five ways we make money in real estate in the single family space. There's technically a sixth way that occurs only in the multifamily space. And it has to do with the fact that we can do something called forced depreciation. In other words, because values are calculated different, valuations of multifamily properties, which are considered commercial assets, not single family assets, are valued based off the income potential that the asset demonstrates. I know I just lost some of you, right? Don't worry about it. The point I'm trying to make is they have two different functionalities when it comes to valuation. If you can increase the income of a multifamily property while controlling the expenses, you will force appreciation or valuation increases on the asset because the value of the income that property produces, somebody is willing to pay market value for. For instance, when I'm looking to buy a multifamily asset, which is what I'm primarily focused on day in and day out. I'm looking for my next multifamily asset. And what I'm looking at is I'm looking at the potential for the asset to allow me to force appreciation. It's how we make money in real estate. It's also how we increase our income streams. It's pretty cool stuff. All right, let me take you to this property that I talked about at the beginning of the show that Vincent sent me. Now, this thing is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1-car garage. He sent me a picture of it. It's actually a very quaint little property. It's lined by trees. It's got a nice curb appeal. It actually doesn't look that bad on the outside. But when you look at the inside, that's where things have gone very, very wrong. Yeah, there's a lot of deferred maintenance in this asset. There's about $85,000 of work that needs to be done on this property. Now, this is considered a moderate to heavy rehab. So if you don't know how to go through the process of tackling a mild to heavy rehab, join Lifestyles Unlimited. We'll teach you how to do it. And then we'll tell you, maybe for your first one, unless you've got experience doing something like that already, maybe you ought to do something with a lighter rehab so that you can get the fundamentals down. Not everybody needs to do that, but some people do. They're very good at helping you understand your ability level because they're going to ask you probing questions. You're going to give them decent answers and they're going to get the information they're looking for and they're going to give you the feedback you want. And that's important. All right, let's assume this property is good to go for you. You can do a medium to heavy rehab because we're not really rehabbing this property. We're just talking about it, okay? We haven't even decided to buy this property because we don't even know anything about the property. We don't even know how this property is going to invoke the five ways we make money in real estate so that we can determine whether this is a viable asset for us to pursue or not. So let's do that. How do we do that, Al? Well, follow along and I'll share it with you. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to figure out where the property is located. Now, this property happens to be in the greater Chattanooga, Tennessee market. So that's important because if you're going to buy in Tennessee, you need to understand the local laws and ordinances that apply to real estate ownership in wherever you're going to invest. You need to do the research and you need to figure that out. Lifestyles Unlimited can help you, but you're the one that needs the information flow. The next thing that we need to know is we need to know not where in Chattanooga it is, because I'll be honest with you, I don't care at this point. What I care about are the financials. Because if this thing doesn't do some minimums for me, I'm going to reject it and it's going to be gone. So what are these minimums? Well, when I do my analysis, I want to find out two things, two screening criteria that I have. The first one is cash flow. I want the cash flow to be between $200 and $600. If it's above it or if it's below it, there has to be a reason why. In other words, there's probably something associated with the equity capture that may or may not allow me to buy it below $200 per month or buy it above $600 per month. Because my research tells me $200 to $600 per month for the asset classes that we tend to buy is the sweet spot. What I did was I did a quick rental analysis for what market rents are in that basic area for the size of property. And then I determined what my mortgage values would be. I determined what my taxes, what my insurance would be. And I subtracted all that stuff from what fair market rents would be. And what that told me was that cash flow on this asset should be about $294 per month. So that's in my zone. So it passes that screening criteria. The next thing that I want to do is I want to find out whether or not this asset will double or better the amount of equity that I'm paying for when I buy this deal. Does that make sense? So in other words, when I did the analysis of the property, I determined what the fair market value of the property should be if it's all fixed up in the neighborhood that it's located. That number came back as $285,000. This property could be worth $285,000 all fixed up. Then I looked at what can I buy it for? What's it being offered for? And that number came in at $145,000. So I've got $140,000 worth of equity between the purchase price and the after repair value price that I'm working with. Pretty cool stuff, right? When I did the analysis for what Vincent felt was wrong with the property, I came up with a cost to do the remediation for all the stuff. HVAC, roof, foundation, flooring, cabinets, fixtures. Yeah, it's pretty extensive. There's a lot of dated things in this property. There's just a lot of things that don't attract the modern renter. So we're going to modernize this thing and make it better. It's going to cost about $85,000 to do that. It's also going to cost about $10,000 in holding and carrying costs, not to mention the closing costs. I do my analysis and I determine, based on what I think it's going to take for me to repair this property, what I know I can borrow against this property, it's going to cost me $37,000 of my own cash to do the deal. That's my cash contribution to buy this deal. It's going to allow me to capture an additional $45,000 in equity. So that passes my screening criteria too. I'm investing $37,000, but I'm obtaining an additional $45,000 in equity. That's $82,000 in total equity in this asset. I think I want $82,000 in total equity in this asset. So it passes my screening criteria. So now let's talk about the five different ways we make money in real estate. At $294 per month, annualized, that's about $3,500 per year in income. When I take that amount and I divide it by the $37,000 that I put into the deal, I'm getting about a 9.5% return on investment just on the cash flow. When I look at the equity I capture of $45,000 and I divide it by the $37,000 that I actually put into the deal, I'm getting a 122% return on capital gain. And then when I start calculating natural appreciation, I use a very conservative number of just 3.5%. When I calculate principal reduction, and then I calculate the fact that the depreciation will be higher than the annual cash flow. In other words, the depreciation this property is going to put off is almost $8,300. My cash flow is about $3,500, which leaves me about $4,700 of additional depreciation I can use in accordance with IRS laws against other income that I have. It's kind of cool, right? So what if I held this asset for 3 years? How much would this asset return collectively over time when I take into account the five different ways we make money in real estate? If I sold the asset and I paid for the cost of sale, what would my return be? Well, assuming that the property only went up 3.5% per year, you didn't get these crazy market moves that we've been seeing, you'd have a certain set price. And that price is almost $316,000. So you're going to sell at $316,000. You're going to pay the costs of sale. And when the dust all settles, you will have returned a $94,500 result. You will have turned $37,000 into an additional $57,000, resulting in a total return on investment, to include the original investment, of almost $95,000. That represents 155% return on total investment over 3 years. Now, is your stock doing that? If not, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.